Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to read again starting at verse number 1 through verse 12. Ephesians and chapter 1, the Word of God says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Amen. We'll end our reading there, trusting that the Lord will in truth bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake. This morning we are going on in our study of Ephesians chapter 1 to visit the third verse. That third verse, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. This morning, I would impress upon you the title of this message. Blessed, blessed, yea, blessed indeed. May the Lord show us truly that we are the blessed of the Lord, those that are under the pronouncement of the benefits of God in Christ. Before we consider anything, though, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer and ask Him that His Spirit would be the preacher to our hearts this morning. Our Father and our God, again, we come to Thee in Jesus' name. We do acknowledge, O God, that all that we have, all that we are, all that we ever will be, is solely because of the grace of God for Jesus' sake. Lord, today we ask that Thou wilt allow Thy Word to be a blessing to our souls. Help us, O God, to remember that our place is not on this earth. In reality, we are those who stand with Christ before God. Lord, I pray today that Thou wilt allow Thy Word to be sealed to us through the power of the Holy Ghost. May we truly find ourselves rejoicing that we belong to Christ, rejoicing that we have a place with God, rejoicing that we shall not be moved, but all the inheritance of the Lord that has been purchased for us by blood shall be ours everlastingly. Lord, undertake for us today. Encourage us in Christ. Lord, we look to Thee. We ask for Thy presence. We ask for Thy power. We ask for Thy person to be discerned amongst us as we are with Thee in the Word. Help me now as Thy servant, I pray. I pray, O God, that Thou wilt give me the utterance of the Holy Ghost and the guidance of the same. Lord, bless, I pray, this word today. May Christ be glorified. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1 is indeed that book that sets forth the glory of the gospel in ways that no other book does. Surely, when we go to the book of Romans, we are brought face to face with that glorious doctrine, the doctrine of justification and how a man is made right with God. How a man is able to lift his eyes again to God. How a man who was a rebel, a man who shook his finger at the face of God, saying, I'll not have you reign over me. How God subdues iniquity and brings a man to the place where he can be judged righteous by a holy God. A miracle of grace indeed. The book of Romans sets that doctrine forth in all its glory. The book of Ephesians gives us glimpses. Why? Why did God do this? What was it that was in the mind and heart of God that led Him to have mercy upon such as we? This book is a glorious book. And it starts out with the apostle pointing away to the Lord. He points us away from ourselves. He says here at the beginning of the book, let's not think about ourselves, but let us consider that we are saints by the will of God. Look away to the purpose and plan of God. He is that one who hath called you. He is that one who has brought you to the place of mercy. Indeed, verse 1, as we considered 2 weeks ago, declares for us the ultimate purpose of God. That here we have disclosed for us that the Lord has purposed to bring a people to Himself. He has purposed that those that He has brought to Himself would be saints indeed. Those who are set apart for Himself, not just for a cause, but also for holiness. And Paul says, the Lord has purposed that we would be counted as those who are the faithful in Christ Jesus. Those who are full of faith. Those who know every benefit of faith. But you can also flip that around to say, faithful is also those who are loyal to Christ. Those who by God's grace own Christ as Lord. He is my Lord. That indeed is to be the truth that tempers me through all my walk, through all my thinking, through all my understanding, in my actions, in my worship, in my testimony, in my labors. Christ is my Lord. My God has called me unto faithfulness, unto loyalty to Him. Then, if you look at verse 2, last week we considered how that could possibly be done. How is it that I could be holy? How is it that I could be full of faith? How is it that I could be loyal? How is it that I could have my mind and my heart set upon the Lord? Here, You see, Paul praying as well as blessing. He says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Last week we said that is a prayer. That is an indication of the place of the fountainhead from which every other blessing and benefit of God flows. Grace and peace, the two things above all things that we need, the two things above all things that we do not have. And I'm not going to preach what I preached last week, but certainly there is in that both a recognition that you and I are utterly dependent upon the Lord to work out His will, to work out His purpose in us by sovereign grace. Grace that works. And then to bring us to that place of peace. And we made the comment last week, and indeed I would just set it before you again this week, that there is no peace for any man who has never surrendered to Christ. Because indeed we have it there. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Lord. Christ is Lord. For a man to have peace, he must be surrendered to self and given to Christ. This week we come to verse 3. We have, as it were, the expansion of these thoughts. Paul sets before us these great truths about the ultimate purpose of God and how it's going to be worked out. But then in verse 3, he begins to expand that a little bit. And he begins to explain to us the reasons for it. Why it is that we can look for this work. How it is that we can understand that the Lord will be gracious. And how He will prove to be that one that leads us to peace. This morning I want us to see a picture that Paul presents of the saint as the blessed man. That man who has all blessings in himself because of Christ. Blessings in his heart, blessings in his mind. All things that cause us to look and say, "Truly I am a man blessed." We are those who are blessed of God. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. This morning I have five things I'm going to point to. Five simple things. Five brief things. Yes, I promise. I want us to see first presented by Paul the source of the blessing. He says we are blessed with the grace and the peace of God. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Every blessing that you could possibly imagine for yourself as coming to you in Christ, they are all ours because they are conferred upon us by our God and Father. Again, here, even at the beginning of his expansion of thought, Paul would point us away from ourselves and unto our God. Here again, is that call, let's start our thinking with God. When we contemplate what we have, when we contemplate what we have been given, let's not just center our minds upon ourselves, but let's start our understanding and our consideration of these things by blessing God. And so I commit to you the plainest of truths, and that is this, that man cannot come to God except by the abundant grace and mercy of the Lord. God is that one who lifts us out of the pit and out of the miry clay. It is the Lord that has done this. We are to set our minds upon our God as the doer of all things regarding the blessings of His people. Do we not sing that hymn, "From sinking sand He lifted me"? Do we not go to verses such as Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 6, where it comments upon our God But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Paul comes back to in chapter 2 to what he's commenting on now in chapter 1, saying, you are blessed in heavenly places, but it's your God who is the doer of it all. Even here, more to the point, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, it says of the Lord that he did it for his own purpose, for himself. He works all these things for his own self. It says, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Paul is simply setting forth to us that our God is before all things. All things were done for him. Now we as a people, as those who are his creatures, are to bless the Lord. You know, we are made to bless the Lord. You were created to bless the Lord. Our catechism tells us that our chief end and our chief joy is to worship him. Our souls cannot be filled with that which satisfies unless worship is the first thing. We are a creature made to worship. We are a people who are made to bless our God. And that's all Paul is saying here. Before we contemplate any more, let us understand. Let us put our hearts in the proper frame. Let us bring our minds into the right perspective. We are here to bless our God. And then he progresses from there. It was interesting, as you know, I'm reading my way through Lloyd-Jones's 8 volumes. I've made it past page 50. Actually, I'm at page 75 now in the first volume. And it only has, I don't know, what, 600 pages, and then there's 8 of those. Well, we'll be through this in good time. But Lloyd-Jones, in looking at this whole thing, let's understand the reason why the Lord does what he does. First, before we go forward, let's pause. First, before we stretch our mind around the divine workings of our loving God, let's pause and let's bless the Lord. And then he made a comment that was sort of, it gripped me here. He said, I can certainly testify after many years of pastoral experience that the people who give me the impression of being most miserable in their spiritual life are those who are always thinking of themselves and their blessings, their moods and states and conditions. He was making the point, we are to be those who give ourselves to looking unto our God and blessing our God first before we consider all these other things. You can get miserable by just looking down and around, looking at yourself. The Lord gave me a little illustration of that when I was riding home from the week of prayer. I got to ride on an airplane again. And most of you are quite aware that I love airplanes. I love airplanes. I have not found one airplane yet that I have not enjoyed getting off. As we were flying, most of you will remember that Wednesday and Thursday was gray and rainy. And that front that was going through with all that rain was over 500 miles wide. It was pouring rain in Indianapolis. It was pouring rain in Kansas City. And I got the delight of being able to ride through that in the sky. It was delightful. Well, we got up to our cruising altitude
And I was sitting on the window. I always like to sit by the window so that, you know, if we're going to go down, I at least get some perception of how long I have to live before we hit the ground. And I was dismayed because looking out the window, it seemed like we were flying through a perpetual cloud. And I don't know, this particular make of aircraft, the windows were down. I mean, you sit up here and your head's here and the window's way down here. So if you're going to look out the window, you have to really stoop over to look out the window. It's not like at eye level. And I was sitting there and I was looking out the window and it was all gray. Just gray, solid gray. There was not, you know, there was no, you couldn't sense the clouds going by. You couldn't, it's just gray. And there's, of course, gray going up and gray going down and gray going sideways and growing, you know, how it is. And it was just gray. And I was sort of depressed. This is a terrible ride. And I just found myself thinking, you know, if only there was some variation, if only I could look out the window and see at least a cloud or something that would look different than just this gray stuff. And for some reason, I bent down, bent over and I looked out the window. And there was, if you bent down low enough and looked up, you could see there was a horizon and there was actually light and you could see the tops of the clouds and everything. I was going, now wait a minute, this whole time I've been sitting here looking out my window, looking at gray, and if only I had bent down a little bit and looked out this window, I could have seen what I was wanting to see all the time. And I said, boy, that's an illustration to me. How oftentimes we sit in our bumpy ride, as it were, through this life, and all we look out our window and see is, it's so gray, this is rotten, boy, this is terrible. And we start feeling sorry for ourselves, or we start feeling discontented, or we feel whatever, you know, let me off this ride. And I thought, it struck my mind, if only I had bowed the head, I'd have seen what makes all the difference. I've been able to look out that, see the horizon, see that which changed the whole perspective of what I was going through. To bow the head. And I think in some ways, what we're admonished to do here by the apostle, blessed be the Lord, or blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is our place to bow the head, to bless the Lord. If you'll bless the Lord, worship, true worship of God as a first course, puts all the rest in a completely different perspective. Yet you and I oftentimes say, no, wait a minute, let me have dessert first. Let me have all the blessings first. Then when I have all the blessings and I'm enjoying everything, then I'll worship and be thankful. No. Bless God. The source of every blessing is your God. We sing it at the beginning of the service. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. We are to be those that bless the Lord. Lloyd-Jones says the way to be blessed is to look to God. And the more we worship Him, the more we shall enjoy His blessings. Now listen to this. He says, this is most practical. I thought that always tickles me because everybody's in this day and age. We need to preach that which is practical. Here's the practical. The practical man is not one who runs after blessings, but the man who considers the source of the blessings and is in touch with that source. That's practical. That's down to earth. That's where my soul needs to be if I'm going to find the grace and the peace that I so desperately need, that are the sources of all other blessings, as we noted last week. I need to be the man before my God. Whether I have, in my mind, just cause, just reason, a motivation to come to the Lord in worship is immaterial. The place for me is to first get before my God and worship. You think about Daniel. What was Daniel's course? On a regular habit. Daniel's course was to wait for God to bless him, and then he went to the Lord in thankfulness. Huh? Daniel's course was he was a worshiper of God. And God, in response to that, allowed him to know unusual blessings that you and I can only say, oh, if I only knew just a little bit of that. To be able to stand up in the very place which is the lion's den. And know that the lion cannot open his mouth against me. And by the way, there's something wrong with his paws. The claws won't come out either. Oh, I say, here is a great problem in the church. In fact, we might even say it this way. The ministry of the church is becoming that which centers only on the needs of men and not the worship of God. It may make men feel good for a while and seem to benefit men, but there is not true worship of humbling ourselves before the mighty hand of God. Until that takes place, we are not in the place where we will be able to enjoy the fullness of blessings. Worship is first. So I say the point, the first place of blessing must also be the first place of our attention. If there's not careful giving of the heart and mind to our God, there will be the absence of true enjoyment of the blessings that proceed from His hand. In fact, we might even put it this way too. When Adam and Eve fell, they lost their communion with God. When the Lord saves us and makes us new creatures in Christ, the first matter of our hearts must be to seek that communion and fellowship with God again. John makes a description of what we're trying to talk about here by simply saying in 1 John chapter 1 that the primary work is this: if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Yes, you'd think, no, John, why wouldn't you have said it the other way around? The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin so that we can walk in the light as He is in the light. Because that's not the order that the Lord wants us to view this in. Understand, for us, the important thing is that we walk in the light with Him. And then know the benefits and the glories of His grace and His goodness and all the ministries that come from being in the light with God. Paul points us to the source of blessing before we even get into a development of all the reasons why God does what He does. We are to be a people of worship. True worship. Worship ordained and explained to us by God. How we are to do this. The second point, the coming of the blessing. How does this blessing, the spiritual blessings that we're talking about here, how do they come? Well, at the end of this verse it tells us that these things are done in Christ. That Christ here is that one who brings us all these things. Oh, I say, this is a very simple statement and not at all veiled. The point is simply this, that it is through the Lord Jesus that any man is able to come to God. He alone is that way to God. And may we be quick to acknowledge the fact that I do come to God is only because the Lord Jesus has saved me by His blood, and faith in Him has lifted me to the eternal dwelling place with God. Some may say, well, no, surely there's another way. This world is filled with men out there trying to convince us that there are other ways to God than the blood work of Christ. again, just to rehearse with you, what is our situation? What is the situation of men? Psalm 24, I've quoted this verse many times. Psalm 24, verse 3, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Again, the question is, who can say this? Who can say, that's me? That's who I am? None. For we would all readily confess, Romans 3 and 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. None of us can come to God. None of us can ascend into that holy place. None of us can be in that heavenly places by ourselves. But there was one. Hebrews 4 and 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Christ was the only one. Lloyd-Jones puts it very succinctly. It almost sounds like something that you would hear today men saying. This was said long ago, but he just simply says it this way. No Christ, no God, no blessing. He alone is that way to God. He alone is the source of our blessing. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Lloyd-Jones goes on to say, understand this, Christ has no assistant. Christ has no, there is no second name. Really, when you go to Acts 4 and 12, when it says, there is none other name, that means there's no second name. There's not another name besides this one. There is no one to assist us to get to God, save Christ. The point, more clearly, if we have Christ, we shall not fail to come to that place of salvation. There again is a point. God has blessed. But understand this, He has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The fact is, you as a child of God will not fail to receive these, because Christ does not fail. He will save His people from their sin. He has said to us, I will give unto my sheep eternal life, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand. Thirdly, the nature of the blessing. The Scripture tells us that these are spiritual blessings. Some might look at that and say, well, then that would make these blessings somewhat ethereal, that they are blessings that you really can't, I mean, they're not tangible blessings. They are just abstract in some sort of a way. That these blessings are somewhat difficult to lay hold of. That is not the meaning here at all. At all. Spiritual blessings is simply the Lord's way of telling us that these works, these blessings that we find ourselves receiving, are the work of the Holy Spirit. They are those things that He does for us, for Jesus' sake. We can read Ephesians 2 and 1, where it says, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. How does the Lord quicken us? Wherein comes that blessing of life? It is that the Holy Spirit regenerates us, as Titus 3 and 5 tells us. The Holy Spirit makes us alive. He made us to believe so that our hearts see the beauty of Christ and desire Him. Well, we were talking about that in our Sunday school this morning. The natural man does not see any beauty of Christ. It is veiled before his eyes. There's no beauty in him at all. But when the Spirit of God comes and makes us alive, here again I say is the nature of conversion. When the Spirit of God makes us alive in Christ, what do we see? But the beauty of Christ in our hearts, desire Him when we run to Him and embrace Him. We ask also, does not the Holy Spirit also produce those blessings in us, which also then causes the Father and the Son to rejoice? The things that the Spirit of God does within us are spiritual works. They are works of a kind that when the Father and the Son, seated in glory, see in us, there is the rejoicing. There is the blessing. There is the uplifting. These are deep spiritual works done before God. Life and light and holiness and faith. Oh, I say, these are blessings that are all ours through Christ. Notice also the place of the blessing. We are told by the Scriptures here that we are blessed in heavenly places. Keep in mind what this picture is. The place of our blessing is in the presence of God. Our blessings, the things that really are taking place for our soul's good, are happening in that place which is the home of Him who dwelleth in eternity. We might even say here is that place that is unapproachable in many ways, filled with light, glory, and holiness, into which no imperfect man can enter. For there only dwelleth infinite perfection. Yet, as we see, here we are in that place. We are in that heavenly place. May I suggest to you, here also is a picture of that tabernacle scene, that holy of holies. We are blessed in Christ in that holy place wherein is mercy, wherein is the Shekinah glory of God. Here is the mercy seat. I am made to dwell here. I am made in the mind of God to dwell before the mercy seat. That is my rightful place. The Lord tells me in Hebrews that we can come boldly before the throne of grace, before the mercy seat. Why? Because it is my rightful place. I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in that place, before the throne. That is my rightful dwelling place. Then we come to the extent of the blessing. With this I close, and this is really where I was trying to get to all morning, because here was the thing that caused my heart to rejoice the most. It says in our reading that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings. And I say here we can be very exact in our thinking. We are counting the fullness of the graces of God and the certainty of their application to us. Child of God, understand this. You will not be one grace short. Every grace, every spiritual blessing will be yours. You know, we sometimes get our minds that there's a gradation among the people of God. I'm not going to go through this again. We've had this conversation many times in this place. No, sir. No, sir. We will think, well, there's maybe a difference between the people of God because of when they lived. No, sir. In Christ, all who are before the throne, all who are owned of God and led by grace to the place of salvation are the possessors of all spiritual blessings. None are left behind. None are without some. All, in this case, I'm happy to say, means all. All. Whatever Christ's blood meant to bring to me is now bestowed and ever shall be because Jesus is there. Now, here's the picture. Here's what I want us to get to. Here you have Paul calling on us to bless the Lord, and then to think on this picture. Here is the scene of the mercy seat. But see who's there. Christ is there. And He is before the throne. And here's what I want us to think on. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20 says, "For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us." Read also Revelation 5 and 12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." You say, why do you read these two verses? Simply, I want you to see this. Christ is seen by all of heaven, and we in Him. Perhaps there would come forth a question relative to me. Perhaps when I come up before the Lord and I am in prayer, and the question may be sounded before the throne of God, "Shall Mark be forgiven today?" Oh, men wrestle about those kinds of questions. Will you really be forgiven? Here's the scene. Heaven looks and sees Christ and sees me. And the verdict of heaven is, yea and amen, let it be. That's the verdict of the Father, is yea and amen. Let it be. Whatever you wish to bring up, here's the point. We are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. And whenever there is a wonder, shall this child of God be blessed with this spiritual blessing? The answer, yea. Yes, he shall be. And amen. Let it be. All the promises of God to us in Christ are yea and amen. For Jesus is in the heavenlies. He is seated before the right hand of God. He is presenting that before the mercy seat, which accomplishes these things for us. We are to bless our God. We have no uncertain place. There is no tentative standing that you and I have. We never deal with might-bes before the Lord. Oh, I say again, the key to all of this is Christ. He is all the glory. All of this portion of Scripture points back to the person of Christ. The blessings that we have here, they all have their certainty and their definition in the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, child of God, you and I can bless our God, because now we see that God's mind has been completely determined. Blessing shall be upon my people. All spiritual blessings are theirs. There's not one that they'll come short of. There's not one that will be withheld. There's not one that they'll have to go out and earn. There's not one of them that will ever have a blessing that they'll have to say, "You can't have it now, you'll have to wait because you're not worthy." All spiritual blessings are ours with our God, because Jesus Christ has ascended into the heavenlies and He is set down before God, and heaven now rings with His praise and acknowledges His worth. And so now, whenever I come before my God, even though my heart might say to me, "You're not going to get what you're asking for," you're not going to have the help or the grace that you need. Because look at you. I simply say, you're not talking to me of heaven, O accuser. You're not talking to me about the way my God sees it, because He's told me right here that I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's an end to it. That's a settling of it. That's the way it is. Again, I said this morning's message was an expansion of Paul's thinking of what he said in verse 2 and in verse 1. When you start thinking, when your mind and your heart get around that thought, that I most certainly shall have all the spiritual blessings of God applied to me because of the worthiness of Christ, what might you think would be the status or the state of your heart? Seems to me there's a word in verse 2 that sort of describes that. Grace be to you and peace. My heart can be at peace. I can rest. I can rest. I know I will not come short on any blessing, because heaven's verdict is on the work of Christ. Yea. And amen. Oh, may the Lord bless His word to our hearts. May the Lord encourage us with Himself for His name's sake. Let's all pray. Our Father and our God, this morning again, we come to Thee and we ask that Thou wilt bless Thy word to our hearts. We ask, O God, that Thou wilt continue to use it to straighten out our thinking, that it would be that which rules our spirits, that it would be that which would also cause us to be rejoicing and encouraged in heart. Lord, we commit this time to Thee. We commit all that's been said, all that's been pointed to in Thy Word to Thee. We ask, O God, that Thou will continue to use it and bless it within our souls for Jesus' sake. And these things we pray in His name. Amen.